Chapter 100. Ron was tired. He went straight home from practice and stopped at the local deli, bought two rolls, some turkey breast, Swiss cheese, added some mayo. That was dinner. He just didn't want to face papers tonight, and he was enough on top of it so that he could let it go for a day. Ron was watching this new show called Cheers that took place in a bar in Boston. He thought about the blonde. She was hot. He loved the way she stood up so straight with her legs together. It gave her ass the cutest little wiggle when she moved her arms as she spoke. He turned the sound down when the phone rang. Celeste's voice made him smile. They talked briefly about their day, and she told him that her friend the bartender was arranging for the alcohol for the wedding, and that she had found a place called the Englewood Women's Club. That's a long way from Glen Ridge, isn't it? I just couldn't find anything else on short notice. Ron didn't understand how several months could be short notice, but he trusted her that it was. He laughed. You know more about these things than I do. It's gonna start moving very fast now, Ron. It will be here before you know it. I know. Do you have the TV on? She said. Did you see the special on the Kennedy assassination? No, said Ron. Why are they doing something about the assassination? The anniversary is coming up. Ron grimaced. He hated the way they dredged it up every year now. He hated what it had done to the country. I used to be really involved with looking at the conspiracy theories around it. But after the church hearings, I just gave up. I knew that there was never going to be any way to know the truth, and that it was so long ago that it didn't matter anymore. I don't know why, but every time I see something on TV or see an article in a magazine, I read it. I just can't help myself. I feel like I'm being loyal to his memory somehow. I know what you mean, said Ron, but it's like banging your head on the wall. Walls don't bleed, but your head does. Do you remember where you were when it happened? I remember everything about it. That's why I can't watch those specials. They just dredge up all that pain and anger. I know it does, but it reminds me of a time before I knew there was anything wrong in the country. You knew it during the civil rights movement, said Ron. Yes, but it was getting better, and JFK and Bobby and Martin Luther King were changing things. It felt so filled with energy and hope. I know it did. Then we grew up. Do you think that the three of them are connected? I don't know, said Ron. I would have said that we would never know the truth about anything until Watergate. I was pretty sure that we weren't going to know the truth about that either. But then Nixon and his tapes. Ron lay his head back on the pillow. He closed his eyes and listened to her voice and heard his voice. Their telephone calls had a soft intimacy that had nothing to do with the topic, but everything to do with the way that each of them sounded to the other. Did I tell you I worked for the Underground Railroad? Ron's grin widened. No, you just told me you worked for Harry Chapin and World Hunger here. What did you do? I drove guys from New Jersey up into New York State. Then they met somebody else? Yes. Did you ever learn what happened to any of them? No. We weren't even allowed to know their names. Did you talk to them much? We weren't supposed to. The less we knew, the better. How long did you do that for? A year. Ron smiled into the phone. Pretty risky stuff. It didn't seem that way then. Looking back on it, yeah. What do you think about the assassination? Said Celeste. I think it's all really connected by Watergate and what it reveals, said Ron. Celeste felt stunned. I don't understand what you mean. Here's what I believe. 6 months before he died, JFK said that he wanted American troops out of Vietnam by the end of the year. That was 1963. There was 10 more years of the war to be waged, profits to be made, weapons to be tested. Celeste felt shivers as she heard his whispers. What about Bobby? That's a tough one, said Ron. Here's the common denominator. Bobby became a peace candidate. He was going to win. It had only been 5 years. Camelot was a dream that was not so far away. That's how people were responding. Remember, it was only 1968. We had 5 more years of war at stake. Sirhan killed him, said Celeste. It might be the one time it really was a lone assassin. I don't know, or think that I will ever be able to know any of it. We got Nixon. He could have never beaten Kennedy. The Kennedys were his nightmare. They would have brought out the worst in him in very early in 1968. What you're saying is scary, said Celeste. Fairly buried in Watergate is what Nixon did to the peace movement. They discredited it. They sabotaged it in the way that Nixon sabotaged for his whole career. The Pentagon Papers, said Ron. There was a key. It showed that we knew how fucked up we were doing was and didn't care. It was a kick in the balls to every person who had supported the war. But you know what? Almost automatically, she said, what? They didn't want to read it or know it. Then they shifted the focus on those gallant men who served their country. Private Benjamin, an officer and a gentleman. They got away from Apocalypse Now. It was back to, you're in the army now. I don't understand what you mean, said Celeste. After I read 1984 and Brave New World, I knew about how propaganda worked. It was all about manipulation. Everything that is designed to affect our desires for a better world is manipulated by what we know and what we don't know. That's very dark, said Celeste. I'm sorry. Do you want me to stop? No, she said quickly, like there was a scary movie in her ear and she wanted to hear where it was going. I think Howard Hughes had it right. Make movies that support what you want, Ron laughed. See, Nixon is a key to it all. He was either there or a representative of what controlled him from the start. Ron laughed. But he's fucked up. Or they set him up because while he was useful, he wasn't likable. His greatest nightmare. To be reviled. You're all over the place, said Celeste. I know that it may sound that way. I really do. Here's what I learned from Watergate. Follow the money. Translated, that means follow the power. That's thinking the game is rigged, said Celeste. I'm thinking that we don't even know what the game is. You sound like Quimpy. Quimpy's a very smart man, Celeste said. He sure is, but he also is great evidence for brains not being everything. Ron said, he and I go way back. I think I was 16 when I met him. At the bowling alley? Yes. It seems like such an odd place for you to hang out. I was different then. Do you mean you're older now? Ron thought hard. Maybe I do. Maybe it took me a long time to figure out what getting older really means. Celeste said, I know what you mean, but I didn't really want it until I gave birth to Angel. It just changed everything. Do you understand? Ron murmured, no. He thought about telling her. He'd never told anyone about that conversation and how it made him feel. He just found himself saying, Robin and I never wanted children. I think for me, I was just too young to understand. For her, it was something deeper. I don't know what it was or is. Zoe wanted children and begged me to impregnate her. Ron laughed as he remembered. Can you believe that we had sex multiple times each day and used no birth control except for withdrawal, and she didn't get pregnant? It depends on a lot of things, said Celeste. He had caused her nursing brain to activate and give her multiple options of symptoms, such as age and eating disorders, to consider. Anyway, said Ron, I had this friend named Paula. She used to come over to see me before my apartment got burned out when I lived in Elizabeth. We were friends, and we liked sex. That's how it was for me. Looking back, that was a stupid way to feel. I was staying in Rahway a couple of days after the fire. She called me there. She told me that she'd been pregnant, but had an abortion. She said it had been my child. Celeste winced. What had she told him that for? The answer came swiftly. She loved him, and he hadn't recognized it, and so she punished him with both the abortion and the call. Celeste conjured his face in her mind. Why did his lovers feel the need to punish him? Was it something that he was doing? She didn't feel that way. He did pick women who liked doing that. No, that wasn't it. What was it? We all do crazy things sometimes, said Celeste. Why? His word was a plea to understand. I don't know. There's lots of evidence for it, though. They laughed sweet and warm smiles into the phone. I think it's because we live in the instant, but then our brains keep recreating that instant over and over.
Celeste's voice was gentle and filled with understanding.
Not everyone's brain needs to do that, Ron.